In mind, take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to continue on in our series here on continuing steadfastly. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, third in our series. The Bible says this, and they, again, this is that first church, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word of God, the truths of the word of God. Dealt with that 2 weeks ago. In fellowship, God intends for us to care about doctrine, and that's to be preeminent. But he did call us to be a gathering, didn't he? To be a flock, a gathering of sheep who together worship the Lord in fellowship. And then in breaking of bread, which we'll explain this morning, and in prayers. And so today, the title is this, Continue Steadfastly in the Breaking of Bread. And I trust that the Lord will do work in our hearts this morning. Let's pray and ask his help. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for who you are, Lord. And thank you that a God who is so high and holy and lifted up is so compassionate and loving and merciful. We're humbled by it this morning. Thank you for being such a good Heavenly Father. I pray that you help us as your children this morning to listen close and hear from you, and Lord, have a desire, even as Christ did, to glorify you in all that we do. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And so as we continue in our series in Acts 2:42, what we're doing is we're looking at that very first church. And we saw this, that Jesus established that first church when he was here on earth. Him and his disciples, the 12 primarily, others followed along the way. There were multitudes that came and went, but primarily it would have been the 12 and maybe a few others. And that was the first church of Jesus Christ. And he established that. If we just remind ourselves what a church is, an ecclesia, it's a called out assembly of specific people to do the work of Christ. And so he had that, and he had his first church, and he was going around Israel preaching and teaching and healing and all of those things, teaching the truths of the Word of God, what would become later the Apostles' Doctrine. And so then, as we get to the end of his ministry, obviously he dies on the cross for us, and he fulfilled what he came to do. He came to be an example. He came to show us how to live this life, but primarily the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Primarily Jesus came to die for us, and he did that, and he died to save us from our sin, and then he rose from the grave 3 days later, amen? And that's why we celebrate his resurrection every Sunday, that Christ died for our sin and defeated death and rose that third day, and before he ascended to heaven, he gave his apostles the message that they would then proclaim throughout the world. And he promised them that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit would come. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus ascended back to the Father. And then just very shortly after that, the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church. Now, you can't empower something that wasn't there already. But it was there. It was that church that Jesus started. The Holy Spirit came and empowered that church through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and Peter preached that message. And we dealt with all of that already. And we saw that at that time in the upper room, there was about 120 that were a part of that first church. And as Peter proclaimed the gospel to these thousands and thousands of Jews that have come from all over the world for the day of Pentecost, Peter and the other apostles, but then primarily Peter at the end, preached the gospel, told them who Jesus was, the one that was crucified. He was the Son of Man, still is the Son of God, and he died for your sin, Peter said. And really, talking to Israel, he said, the Messiah you killed, he called them right out, didn't he? And dealt with their sin and said, because of your sin, you deserve the wrath of God, but the Messiah that you killed, he died actually for your sin. And now we call upon his name, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in what Christ did in that alone. There's no works involved in salvation. It's all done by Christ on the cross. It is finished, and now we just call out in repentance and faith, asking for God to forgive us based upon what he did on the cross. And so Peter preached that message. Again, we've already dealt with that. Well, then, when you get to the verse before our passage, look in Acts 2:41, it says this, that they that gladly received his word. Well, whose word was that? The word that Peter preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, our sin, what we deserve, and what Christ has done to save us from our sin, the gospel, they received it gladly by faith, accepted what Christ did, asking for forgiveness, did what Peter said, to call out on his name, and they were saved, and right afterwards they were baptized. That's what it says, verse 41. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And that's the process, isn't it? That Christ intends for us to accept what he did on the cross for us, have our sins forgiven, and then immediately the next thing we do, the first step of obedience is to be baptized, which isn't for your sins to be forgiven, but baptism is a proclamation to the world that your sins have been forgiven. And that's exactly what they did. They received the word, they received the gospel, they were saved, they were baptized, and that same day, the Bible says, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now that's a big day, would you say? That's a big day in the life of a church. Going from 120 or so to more than 3,000. Incredible. It's hard to even fathom that, a group of 3,000. I did go during Bible college to a church in Oklahoma City that would run around 2,000, and it was just incredible. I can't imagine the 3,000. Then, by the way, more were added. Thousands and thousands were continuing to be added to this church, and the church was just exploding. It was a huge church. And there's nothing wrong with a big church as long as you're doing it God's way, right? And so there's some practical things about that are different, but we ought not be too concerned about that. Otherwise, we would have been condemning them for having a big church. But God did that, and there were, at this point, at least 3,120 members of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Amen? And so that's huge. Now, and like as we said, as you kept reading in Acts, we're not going to do that this morning, but the church continues to grow and flourish and get bigger and bigger. Now, as I was considering that, and you might be wondering right now, okay, so if you have a church of more than 3,000 people in first century Palestine, first century Israel, where in the world did they meet? 3,000 people plus, and upwards of maybe even up to 10 to 15,000 by the end of it. Where in the world were they gathering? Because what's a church? A church is a gathering of called out members of a church, a local gathering, a called out assembly. It's an assembly of people. And so you cannot have a church service without having the church gather. How are you going to have a gathering unless you gather, right? How are you going to assemble if you don't assemble, right? And so where did they do that? And I thought about that before, just maybe cursory reading through Acts and not giving a lot of thought, just curious. Well, it tells us where they gathered. Look at verse 46. Verse 46, Acts 2:46 says this. And they, that church, 3,000 plus people, continuing daily with one accord. By the way, that's what a church is too, right? We're not a gathering of random people. We're a gathering of people who are like-minded, trying to work together to accomplish the purposes of Christ, who agree on the apostles' doctrine, who are fellowshipping on the truths of the Word of God. And so they're all in one accord, striving together. And here's what they're doing. They continue daily with one accord in the what? Temple. That's where they gathered. Makes so much sense, right? In the temple. And if you study it out, where they would have meant, most likely would have been in the courts of the temple. In the courts of the temple. Now, what does that mean? Well, so if you think about the temple, I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, but in first century Israel, there was that temple, Herod's temple there, right? Solomon's temple was destroyed and the new temple was built. And it was there in first century Israel. That's obviously where God's people went to meet with God in the Old Testament. That's where they would perform the sacrifices and the other rituals and all of the things that God called them to do. And you have the Holy of Holies, right, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and then outside of that, other instruments of the temple. And then that part was a building. But then surrounding the temple building, like the central of it, was a big gate. They were called the temple gates. It was a big wall that surrounded the temple. And when you entered the temple gates, they called that was part of the temple. That was part of God's design. And so there was the temple proper, and then there were the temple gates, and obviously inside the temple gates would have been the courts of the temple courts, before you actually enter that building where the Holy of Holies and the altar and all of that is. And so that area, the temple courts, would have been a lot easier for anybody to show up to. There was a big part called the courts of the Gentiles, and anyone could enter that part of the temple gate in the courts. And this area would have been easy to access and would have been really big and enough to compensate that many people all at one time. And so that's where that first church met. So if you didn't know that, there you go. That helps. That helped me in my mind. And so that temple is where the first church would gather to fellowship and have actual church service. A church service is when the church body gathers together and we fellowship and we serve the Lord and we praise His name and we hear His word preached and we minister together. This is a church service. Now, we've said this. Valley Avenue Baptist Church is not this building. Valley Avenue Baptist Church is not a denomination. The church is the members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And when we hold a church service, it's when the church gathers together. And here we are. And that's what they did. They would gather together and hold an official church service. And by the way, they did it daily. Should we get back to that? Well, at least eventually it became weekly at least, and more. I would contend it's never just been once a week, because we need the Word of God more than once a week, don't we? But we need each other more than that. And so, but anyway, they gather daily with one accord in the temple. But that's not all they did. They didn't just see each other in the temple gate, in the temple courts. They didn't only see each other when they had scheduled church services. What do you mean? Well, look at the rest of verse 46. And they continued, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread. See that? That sound familiar to you? The breaking of bread. So they would gather daily in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So having a church service every day still wasn't enough for them. They still needed to see their church family, and so they would break bread from house to house. And they'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And that's exactly what verse 42 said they would do. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. And the next week we'll talk about prayers, but that's what they did. They continued steadfastly in that. So breaking of bread, what does that mean? Well, it's a figure of speech of the day, and still today sometimes used. It just simply means to eat together. Let's break bread. Let's sit down and enjoy a meal together. We're enjoying the same meal, okay? Breaking bread. The idea is you got one loaf, and you break it and spread it around, and we're all enjoying a meal together. It's a social event. And so that's what the idea meant there. Now, there's some out there that try to force the Lord's table into that, and the Lord's table is a big part of church life, and we do that, the Lord's Supper, but this is clearly not that. Because they went from house to house, and that's not how the Lord's table worked anyway. You would gather together to have that. And so breaking of bread in this context is very clear. It's that they would fellowship with each other in each other's houses, from house to house, enjoying a meal together. Yeah. So here's the point. They loved each other, and they wanted to spend time with each other. They wanted that. Even when it wasn't a scheduled church event. Even when they weren't required, in a sense. You know what I mean by required. We want to be here, but whenever there's a time and a place where we all have to come, yeah, we'll see each other then, but that wasn't enough for them. They wanted to see each other even outside of church. Imagine that. Yeah. That's good. That's what it means, breaking of bread. They went to each other's houses and broke bread together. And when they did, they ate. Amen? And they ate meat. How do you know that? Well, look at verse 46. Breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat. Amen. Yes, so anyway, biblical right there. But anyway, when they did that, when they ate together, when they ate meat together, the Bible says that they did it with gladness. They were happy about it, right? And singleness of heart. And so this clearly wasn't something they did just because that's what the apostles told them to do. Although I will contend that the apostles did tell them to do that. I'm sure the apostles said, you need to be hanging out with each other. You need to be good friends with each other. And you should probably consider eating at each other's houses. I'm sure the apostles did that because we need that those kind of things. And so, but they didn't do it just because they had to. They did it with gladness. It's kind of like when the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. You know? Does that mean that we only have to give if we feel like it? No, God does command the tithe. God does command to be giving people. But when we do it, we don't do it just because it's what we have to do. He loves a cheerful giver. I'm happy to give back to the Lord. And the same is true here, that we should continue steadfastly doing this, reaching out to each other and being a part of each other's lives. But we shouldn't do it just because we have to. Just because the Bible said, oh, okay, well, I guess I better do this. No, they did it with gladness. That word gladness means exultation. It means extreme joy. So it was almost like they were cheering when they saw each other. Like, yeah! Welcome to my house! You know, or they saw each other at the supermarket. It's like they were excited. They were exalted. They loved each other's company. And they didn't just enjoy each other's company, but in a sense, they needed it. They needed it. They needed each other's company. They looked forward to being with their church family. And church services weren't enough. Church services were needed because they wanted to hear the apostles' doctrine. And whenever the church doors were open, they were there daily. And they craved the Word of God, and they needed the Word of God. And so every time the doors are open, there should be something in us that says, I need to be there so I can hear the Word of God. I need it like a baby needs milk. But more than that, when the doors are open, I need to be there because I love my church family. What could be more important than hearing from God and being around your church family? I don't want to hear any answers, but I'll just tell you, nothing is more important. Now, there's some things you can't get out of. I get it. And you don't want to quit your job, you know. So there's things about that, but there's some things you can't get out of. But come on, if the doors are open and God's word, like a message from God Himself, from the eternal Creator, He wrote and inspired the Word of God, and a man of God, whether it's me or Brother Tim or whoever is up here, has studied and is going, you're going to benefit from hours of study in the Word of God, and you get to be around your church family. I just don't understand how that's not the most exciting thing on the planet Earth. It ought to be. They did it. They were so excited. They did it every day. And can I just tell you, if it's not exciting to you, there is a problem somewhere. If church services do not sound exciting to you, something's off. This isn't even in my notes. This is where I am. It should be. Church services ought to be your favorite thing. Seriously, you just say to yourself, this right here, this show is more important than hearing from Almighty God and being around my church family. It just doesn't sound right. There should be nothing more exciting to you than being here if you can do it, if you can make it happen. And I'm not the church attendance police, and I'm not going to be, you know, doing any kind of formal investigations. All I'm saying is, how important is this to you? It should be very important. It was important to the first church. They knew they needed it. They were exalted. They were extremely excited to be around their church family. There was something about being with their church family that refreshed them, that energized them. And they loved being around each other. Why? Why did they love it so much? Well, because, it says, verse 46, and singleness of heart. They had singleness of heart. Their church family wasn't just a group of people they just happened to attend church with. Their church family was their family. In a sense, all their hearts were knit together to where it was one heart. They agreed with each other on the truths of the Word of God, the things that mattered most. And so they enjoyed that company that way. They loved each other. Their church family was their closest, and it was their dearest friends. And it kind of only makes sense because that's how friendships are formed. commonalities. And they had a commonality that was deeper than anything. And you have to know this, that this all goes deeper than just sharing meals together. This breaking of bread was way more than they just both liked that meal, right? They shared meals together, but in doing that, they shared their lives with each other. This church family shared their lives. They were familiar with each other's homes. They went from house to house. And your house is more than just a place that you eat a meal at, isn't it? Yeah. Their house was an intimate place. It's a place where dear people come and hang out. It's where your family is. And so they would invite their church family into their house. You see the intimacy there, the love, the personal touch that brings? Yeah, they loved hanging out with each other in the temple gates, in the temple courts, but they loved to be around each other on a personal level too. And they were opening not just their kitchen table, not just their house, but they were opening their lives to each other. And we ought to be doing that. As Valley Avenue Baptist Church, we need to open our lives up to each other. We need that. We need that. It's part of God's plan. You should be familiar with each other's homes. They were familiar with each other's homes. We ought to be familiar with each other's homes. Pastor, I'm a very private person, and I don't really want anyone coming into my house. I understand that. Go to somebody else's house then. You need it. Go meet up at a restaurant or a park. It's not just the place that matters. We need to spend time with each other. The point is that we need to spend time with each other other than just at church services. There ought to be something inside of you that makes you want to be around your church family. There should be something in you that does that. You need to be friends with your church family. You need to be a part of each other's lives personally. We're not just acquaintances. We're not just classmates. We're a church family, you see? The people in this room should be your closest and dearest friends. And if you can't, listen, if you're here this morning and you can't see yourself being close and dear friends with your church family, then what we need to do is figure out why. Why is that? Because we really need that. Listen, close friendships are built around something you have in common, is how it always works, right? Yeah, if you're close friends with somebody, you have something in common with them. Think about the closest friend in your life right now. Why are you good friends? Why are you friends with this person? Maybe your kids were the same age, and you had that connection. Or maybe you both like golf, you know, and maybe that started it. Maybe you have the same sense of humor with them and you just connect that way. Whatever it is, and the list can go on and on, there is a reason you and that person got connected and there is some kind of commonality in some way. And the more important that thing is that connects you to that person, the more important that thing is, the closer your friendship will be. And then so you clicked and you connected somehow. And then you spent a lot of time with that person, and you guys spent time together, and then along the way, as you spent time together, you began to open up to each other, didn't you? You begin to open up with them and open your life to them and their life to yours, and you began to talk about things that maybe you wouldn't talk about with very many people, and this is how friendships are formed. And it all starts somehow with some kind of commonality. Well, listen, the things you have in common with your church family should be the most important things in the whole universe, right? You were both saved from hell forever. You serve the same God. You believe the same things about God, hopefully. Your eternal destiny is the same. You're both trying to please God with your life. You're both headed in the same direction. And not only that, but you're part of the same body of Christ. All that stuff we just talked about, you have those commonalities with any Christian you run into. if they're truly saved and serving the Lord. But as a member of the same church, you are in a very specific way working for the same specific goals that God has for Valley Avenue Baptist Church. You're both trying to reach Falls City, trying to reach the lost in this area, in the surrounding areas. You're both trying to help establish and grow the ministry here so that we can be more effective for Christ as His body here in Falls City. And so we have a lot in common with each other that really matters. And so if you're finding it hard to connect and be friends with your church family, it might be that maybe you're making your focus something that's not these things. Maybe. It could be. And maybe they're not the same social status as you, so you don't connect. Maybe they're not in the same place in their life as you are. Or maybe they don't like good sports teams. You know, there's Cowboys fans in the room and Raiders fans. And, you know, it's hard. How do you connect with someone like that? They make such bad decisions, you know? Maybe they refuse to get a real phone because they're stuck with their Android. And we just, come on. Or whatever reason, they don't like coffee. Like, what's wrong with them? You know, like, how do we have a conversation? You know? They don't appreciate McDonald's. You know? These things are there and sometimes makes it hard to connect with each other. Maybe you just have different personalities. That happens. And there are personality clashes. It's a thing. But here's the thing. All of that might be true. But if you are a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and if they are a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, then you have so many things in common with them, and the things that you have in common with them really matter more than if they like coffee or not. Or if they have a different personality than you. You see, these are petty things that we need to continue steadfastly at breaking those barriers down and building up the barrier, not barriers, but building up the walls of friendship that are way more important than that. And it's going to take us continuing steadfastly. We need to continue steadfastly in breaking of bread. But as you know, the term continue steadfastly, if that's there, that means that whatever you're trying to continue steadfastly at, there's going to be opposition, right? As we said this, as we continue steadfastly in the doctrines of the Word of God, the reason they had to continue steadfastly is because there were other doctrines pulling at them, weren't there? There was Gnosticism, there was Roman paganism, there was the philosophies of Greece. There were all these different things that were pulling at their thinking and trying to get them to disagree with the apostles, to try to pull them away from the Word of God, pull them away from the truth of the Word of God. But they had to continue steadfastly believing and preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God, no matter what the society said, no matter what they thought. Because when we experience life, if you were here on Wednesday night, you know that experiences of life has a way of getting in and causing you your foundations to be shaken, and you can start to believe things about God that aren't true. But we need to continue steadfastly believing what God has said, right? So there's opposition. And so it's almost in a stubborn way. No, we're going to keep preaching this. We're going to keep teaching this. We're going to keep believing this. We're going to keep obeying this and following this and molding our life after the doctrines of the Word of God. Continue steadfastly. Continuing steadfastly in fellowship. Because there's conflicts in church, isn't there? And sometimes it makes it hard for us to fellowship one with another. And so we have to continue steadfastly in that. Well, the same is true about breaking bread. There's opposition. There's reasons why it's hard to break bread sometimes. But as Valley Avenue Baptist Church, just like this first church did, we need to continue steadfastly in breaking bread. We need to keep doing it no matter what is trying to stop us. And so this morning, I just want to ask you, what is getting in your way of breaking bread with your church family? If you feel like you're not doing this, if you feel like you're not really connecting here, you're not really a part of the lives of your church family, we need to find out what is going on. Why is that? What is preventing you from really getting close and opening up with your church family? Do we need to look past some petty differences? Sometimes that's the case. Maybe we're making some things too important that really ought not be that important. We need maybe look past some differences that don't really matter and then cling tight to the things that do matter. And fellowship and break bread over that. There could be this. There could be some sinful tendencies that we just need to address and correct. Maybe there is a lot of gossip around. And when there's gossip around, it has a way of, like a fire, destroying relationships and friendships. And maybe we need to address those things. Maybe, is there a negative spirit that makes it hard to break bread with somebody? They just don't have a spirit of joy and positivity. Proverbs talks about how that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And maybe there's a negative, broken spirit in here that is hard to fellowship with because that spirit is sucking the life out of every conversation. Maybe that's happening. Maybe we're too negative and we need to address that. We can't just stop. We can't just say, that's who I am. No, we need to continue steadfastly and address that so that we can break bread together, so we can enjoy each other's company, so that we can feed each other that way and energize each other and provoke one another to serving the Lord. Is there a sin in your life that you'd rather your church family not know about? Hey, that's a real possibility. If I get too close to them, they're going to find out what I'm doing. Okay. How about this? How about we just address what you're doing and get that out of your life? God says that we're always one prayer away from having our sins forgiven. And you just might need breaking of bread with somebody to help you get over that. You might need your church family to help you pass to that whatever that sinful tendency might be. That's part of what we're here for. That's part of what we're here for. And so let's find out. We need to continue steadfastly in this, don't we? And let's find out, why is there friction? Why can't we break bread? And then both sides of this equation, because there's always two sides, isn't there? Both sides need to continue steadfastly to work it out. We got to work it out so that we can break bread together. We need to break bread together. Yeah. Sometimes distance can be a problem. That's true. It's practically a problem sometimes. But we just need to continue steadfastly and make it a point to reach out to those who live 15, 20, 30 minutes out of town and make sure that we don't let them get too isolated to where they're not breaking bread. You see? Let's bring some bread out there, you know? Maybe someone isn't healthy enough to really get out a lot. Well, we need to continue steadfastly and reach out to them. Make sure they're not forgotten. Break bread. Can't let people fall through the cracks. Not if we're going to break bread. Hey, maybe we're just too busy. It could be that. Maybe we're just too busy. And if we are, if that's the case, then what we need to do is we just need to make time to stay connected and stay close with our church family. Why? Because we need each other. We need each other. Yeah, we need it. God designed you to need it. You need your church family. And we can't pretend like we don't. And you can act like you don't. But I'm telling you, God designed you to be a sheep in a flock. Under the shepherd, the great shepherd. And we need each other. We do. We need each other. And some of you are saying, I don't know if I want my church family around all the time. I don't know. Do we really need to be close friends? I'd much rather just be left alone to myself. Now, we don't need to be creepy and go too far with this, you know. Put GPS trackers in everybody. None of that is necessary. But at the same time, listen, at the same time, we cannot isolate ourselves and pretend like we're going to have a life that God wants us to have and flourish in our Christian life, because God intended for you to be a part of a church family, not a church class. You see? We need our church family. The Bible is very clear about that. And we can go through the entire Scripture. We can go through the entire New Testament and go book by book where these people were doing things together and needed each other to do what God's called us to do. We need our church family. We need to reach out to others. We need to reach out into each other's lives. And then we need to allow others to reach into our lives. We need that because God made us that way. He made us that way. Go to Ecclesiastes 4. You can lose your place in Acts. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And we'll be done here. There, say amen. Got a few. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Solomon wrote this, and he says this: two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Listen to this. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. You see the word if, isn't there? Woe to the one that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they can have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And you might be saying, all I need is me and one more. Well, then he goes on, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And you've got to know, he didn't intend to stop at three. You see? We need each other, don't we? And I'm burdened, listen, as a pastor, I'm burdened for those who are alone when they fall. Who are alone when he falleth. Because here's the reality of life. We're all humans, and we are fallen, and we have the grace of God, and we have the Holy Spirit in our, if we're saved, but we will fall along the way. As we try to live this life for God, and that's going to happen. The problem is when we're alone when we fall. You know what Solomon said? When we're alone when we fall. Yeah, because when someone is alone when he falls, he hath not another to help him up. We're here to help each other up, aren't we? Now, obviously, we're never completely alone. It's clear that God's with us, and God's always there, and he is enough. But it's also clear that God intended for us to have his people around us so that when we fall, we can help lift each other up. You see? God intended for you to have close, godly friends to help keep you accountable. You need that. You're not strong enough by yourself. You need that. To help you when you fall, to encourage you when you're weak, to strengthen each other and sharpen each other. And listen, none of this happens if we don't open up to each other and purpose to help one another. None of that happens. Being together isn't enough to help each other when we fall. We need to be close to each other, don't we? And opened up to each other. We need that. Because a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And listen, Valley Avenue Baptist Church needs some threefold cords. Now, two are better than one, he says. But a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see? And that's partly why, listen, that's partly why God instituted the local church. Listen, when Christ came, he fulfilled the law, and the temple was no longer necessary because the Holy Spirit lives within us and our bodies are the temple. And God could have, practically speaking, just allowed us all to serve him on our own, in our own little temple. But God intended, Jesus himself died, as he said, for the church. He intended for there to be a local gathering of fellow believers who are doing this life together. God gave us a local church, and this is partly why. Listen, imagine if we all got a hold of this truth the way that first church did. Listen, if a threefold cord isn't quickly broken, imagine a 3,000-fold cord and what can be accomplished. Yeah, because listen, the devil wants to break you. He so bad wants to break you. And he's working at it hard, and he's done it for ages, breaking God's people. Valley Avenue Baptist Church needs some cords because the devil wants to break us. He so desperately wants to break us. But a threefold cord is not quickly broken, you see. And if you feel like a single strand, you know what I'm talking about? A single strand that's about to break, let's figure out why and let's work together and figure out how that you can be part of a cord. You need to be part of a cord. See? You need that. If you see some strands, maybe you're a part of the cord and you're seeing some frays and some single strands. Let's see what we can do to get them part of the cord. You see? Because they need that. They need to be part of the cord. They need a cord, and we need them to be part of a cord. Because we were never intended to do this by ourselves. Christianity has never been an isolated incident, an isolated experience. We are single strands in need of a cord. We are sheep in need of a flock. We are body parts in need of a body. We need our church family. And so let's see what we can do to continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. And listen, there are a lot of people out there trying to live this life without God and without God's people. They're trying their hardest. And they're failing because that's what we do, don't we? Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've been trying to figure it all out on your own. Maybe you've been realizing that you can't do it. And here's why. Because God never intended for you to do that. He never designed you for that. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so God designed you, first of all, to need Him. He designed you to need Him. And no matter how well life seems to go without God, there will always be an emptiness inside of you. There will always be a shallowness, an incompleteness about you. My youth pastor would always say this, that you were born with a Jesus-sized hole in your heart. And only Jesus can fill it. And you can try to fill it with money and relationships and stability and all these things. Oftentimes that goes through that fast and people turn to alcohol and drugs and virtual realities so they can forget about life. But what you need is Christ in your soul first. You were designed to need that. First thing you need is a relationship with God. But you see, the problem is we were all born in sin, weren't we? We were all born separated from God. That's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. And so we were all born in sin, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're born separated from Him. We're born, as my youth pastor said, with that Jesus-sized hole. And in order for you to have a real relationship with God that you need to have that sin forgiven. You need your sins forgiven. Well, the good news is Jesus died on the cross just for that reason. That's why He came. That's why God became a man. That's why He died on the cross. He took the wrath of God because we deserve the wrath of God. He paid the penalty for our sin so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we don't have to spend eternity in hell, yes. But more than that, He desires, He craves, He desperately wants a relationship with you, and that can only happen if your sins are forgiven. Because sin separates you from God. And until your sins are forgiven, even if you're part of a church family in a sense, and you have the community, until your sins are forgiven, you will never find satisfaction, you will never find the fulfillment you're looking for, because it only comes from Christ. But maybe you are saved this morning, and you're not part of a flock, really. And I'm glad you're here. I really am. Valley Avenue Baptist Church is glad to have guests. So glad. But God's plan is for every saved person to be an active member of a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church so that you can fellowship one with another, you can break bread one with another, and live this life with a church family. That's God's intention. It's a clear part of God's plan. You need a church family. You need a church family. But maybe you're technically a member of a church, but you've not really formed any cords. Like, you've got the doctrine down, you've got the fellowship down, but the breaking of bread thing is lacking, you see. Maybe you're just casually showing up and keeping your distance so you're not hurt or whatever. Maybe you're afraid to open up and truly break bread with somebody. Maybe you feel like you don't fit in. Now, that describes you, friend. We need to figure that out. We need to find out what's hindering the closeness with your church family. We need to do what we can to deal with that, because we need our church family. And if you can't seem to figure it out, you need to come to somebody about it. Go to somebody else and say, hey, I'm struggling here. I'm trying to fit in, but I'm struggling. And I would be glad to talk to you about that. And others in our church family, I know I can think of at least five or six that right now, if you went to them and told them that, they would do everything in their power to help you get over that. Because we understand, don't we, that we need a church family. And if we're afraid and we're ticked off the cord and we're fraying out there, it's not going to take long for that to be pulled off and be separated from the cord, because God intends for us to be a part of that church family. God never intended for you to figure this out by yourself. Listen, you need some cords. You need it. And let's all help each other do that. We need to help each other do that. Let's open ourselves up. Let's be people who aren't gonna beat each other down and look down and persecute in a judgmental way. No, we need to have compassion like our God has compassion, don't we? And we need to hear each other out, and we need to serve one another, and we need to help each other to be part of the cord. And let's do our part, and then let's help them do their part, because 60-fold cord? Not quickly broken. And if we get a hold of this, there's no telling what God can do. But you know what? The devil knows that too. And if he can get us all frayed and weak, he knows he'll hinder what we're doing. Let's not let him win. Let's build some cords. Let's lift each other up. Let's pray for one another. Let's reach out to each other. Strengthen each other. Sharpen each other. Because Valley Avenue Baptist Church needs to continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the cords that are represented in this room. I'm thankful for the dear friendships that I have with many in here. Thankful, Lord, that there's many friendships that exist in this room with each other. And I'm thankful for a healthy flock. And Lord, you know the intent of this message isn't, Lord, to very much corrective, but more preventative. But Lord, there are, no doubt, members of this church that feel strayed or stranded, or just others that are here today that are feeling like they're floating around this life, trying to figure it out by themselves. Lord, help us all to help each other to band together, fellowship, break bread, and push each other, lift each other up, and accomplish what you've called us to accomplish, reaching the lost and glorifying your name. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's stand together. God's worked in your heart this morning. Now's the time to come and deal with that. Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation. You can go ahead and do that now, brother. And if there's one in here that you don't even feel like you're tied with God, and you feel like you're still separated from him, much less at the church family, but you feel like you're not close with God, God wants to. He wants that with you. He wants fellowship with you. He wants a personal relationship with you. And he's done everything he can. Listen, God's done everything he can to remove the barrier. He died for you because he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. All that's required now, like Peter said, is to call out. Your sins can be forgiven.